Last year in Kensington, the city's Department of Behavioral Health and Mural Arts Program opened up an art space. Artists lead workshops there for people who live in the neighborhood or on the street, most struggling with addiction. WHYY's Nina Feldman sat in on a storytelling workshop for people who had experienced trauma. And while personal narratives have been a mainstay in recovery programs for decades, some say that for people who are actively addicted, that can be quite risky.
It was the first really hot afternoon this spring, and people were out on Kensington Avenue, hollering to each other over the loud rumble of the train above or the scream of a passing siren. The Kensington storefront is at the center of it all. About a dozen people gathered in the small, well-lit room. Many stay in the homeless encampments down the street, hundreds of tents and mattresses crammed under the neighborhood's low-passing bridges. Most were active users. The day's activity was called life mapping, a visual representation of the people, places, and decisions that have made you who you are and defined what you care about. People settled in and some started drawing. Others left for a cigarette and came back. Some didn't. After some time working on the life maps, a woman named Monica volunteered to share her drawing. We agreed not to use her last name to protect her privacy.
When I was young, I had told my mom's friends and stuff like that, and they had used crystal meth, and, you know, it was glorified to me because they were all beautiful. The epitome of beauty was my mother. But there was a lot of domestic abuse.
Monica reflected on becoming addicted to meth herself, being molested as a child, sex work, and rape. When she'd finished, a lot of people thanked her for sharing and said they'd experienced similar things. Substance abuse and trauma often go hand in hand. Lisa Najavitz is a research psychologist at Boston University who studies treatment for people with PTSD and addiction. She says it's a common misconception that catharsis always helps. If people aren't stable before they dig into their trauma, the consequences can be serious.
So with someone with substance abuse, it could lead them to using more.
Najavitz says people need to be in a safe space before they confront their past. She worries that a drop-in setting led by artists working with people actively using drugs isn't that place.
It's better to do nothing than to do something that could be potentially harmful.
The workshop leaders say they know that life mapping might not follow clinical best practices, but they're willing to risk being imperfect in order to connect with people and try to help. One of the artists is Caledonia Curry, who also goes by the name Swoon and is known around the world for her street art. Curry chatted with a woman named Jessica as she doodled on her construction paper.
I'm going to draw a picture of your dog on your life map here. His name is Champ.
Yeah. He would have died if I didn't take him.
Wow.
Curry says she thinks life mapping can highlight some of the good in people's lives instead of always focusing on the bad. Jessica's story was really rough.
But still through that, telling stories about the time she adopted a dog off the street, you know, all of a sudden it started to emerge that she was this super nurturing person. She could see something about herself that maybe she wasn't looking at when she's just looking at the bad experiences.
Efforts led by those with good intentions but little or no clinical background have become more and more common as the opioid epidemic has worsened, a byproduct of a crisis that society has failed to resolve. Some say they really appreciate the space. Keenan Namelli lives in an abandoned building nearby.
I've never been able to sit still, right? This place has taught me how to collect myself, right? And really, it has. And this is what I made.
He pointed to a beaded bracelet on his wrist.
And I made that, and that made me feel so much better about myself for the day.
Nina Feldman, WHYY News.